The Mooch hits late night, eclipse this, and relax, would you, Jennifer?
Sorry, Rob.
This is a Tuesday edition of The Morning Feed. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
All right, I don't know, did you stay up and watch it, The Mooch, on Stephen Colbert last night?
I did not.
From what I saw, it was kind of one of those deals where you just couldn't take your eyes off of it, you know?
Couldn't turn away.
Yeah. So, of course, I'm talking about former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci on CBS's Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Now,
and this is the first time he's talked since he's been fired, right?
Yeah. His first main, like, interview. Yeah. You know, no, watching this guy, I really hate the idea of giving him the time of day. He's such a tool. I just can't stand it, but at the same time, I did find it interesting just because you're kind of getting this, you know, this backdoor view of what's going on
right.
in the White House and stuff like that. And that was one of the questions that Colbert asked him. What was the deal in the White House?
It's a tough place. There was a lot of infighting. You know, the front stabber was backstabbed. I think you said that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to be very open and very honest with people. What ends up happening there, though, is people don't do that. What they do is they go behind each other's backs and they leak things to the press and they say nasty things about each other to try to destabilize them or to influence the president's judgment.
And he was only on the job for, what, 2 weeks or something?
Yeah. 11 days, right?
11 days. That's
yeah,
right.
And he'll actually touch on that at the end here. But, just in that short amount of time, that's what he picked up. And you know what it sounds like? High school.
Yeah.
Sounds like high school at the White House.
Drama.
Yeah. All right. So, surprise, he didn't get along with former White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus.
The weird thing about my relationship with Reince is we were actually pretty good friends when I was a political donor writing checks to the RNC.
Mm-hmm.
But once I became part of the administration or was about to enter the administration, for whatever reason, it was a little more adversarial.
Right. See,
yeah.
Once you started, you know, write all the checks you want. But once you start coming for my job, then
it
gets a little territorial.
Suddenly not so friendly anymore.
Yeah. So Scaramucci, like others now, you know, following the events in Charlottesville and the criticism that the president's gotten for not making a stronger statement initially. Scaramucci is, like others, is calling for top advisor Steve Bannon to be fired. And he said if it was up to him that he would fire him. And Colbert came right out and asked him, does he think that Bannon is a white supremacist?
Now, I don't think he's a white supremacist, although I've never asked him if he's a white supremacist. What I don't like, though, is the toleration of it. It's something that should be completely and totally intolerant.
And, you know, I think that's the best thing that anybody at all from the Trump administration has said ever since they came into office.
I agree.
As for his short time on the job, he was apparently not that surprised.
Well, let me put it this way. When you take a job like that, Stephen, you know that your expiration date is coming. I didn't think I was going to last too long, but I thought I'd last longer than like a carton of milk.
Yeah, that was a very quick in and out job for sure.
Yeah, so there's the Mooch. I think we've... heard just about everything we need to hear from that guy now.
I wonder when his book's going to come out.
It's got you right. You're right. I haven't heard
my
anything.
11 days in the White House.
Right.
A three-part novel.
Well, what were all the memes about how to get rid of a guy and, how to get rid of your communications director in 10 days or something
right.
like that?
Yeah, but, I mean, interesting, you know.
It was,
he is who he is, but, you know, hearing what he had to say about his very short time at the White House.
Yeah, I was super intrigued, and I listened to it all. So anyway, I will try and scrub my mind from it. And, let's go to science.
Science time. Put your thinking caps on.
Right, yesterday was history. Today we're going to get into a little science.
Well, we all know about Monday's solar eclipse.
We've been talking about
it
a little bit here.
You know,
you may have heard I'm going to go. I'm going to go see the eclipse.
Yeah, you've mentioned that once or twice.
Yeah.
But I love this. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, well-known astrophysicist.
Sure.
Inspired a lot of people, young and old, to get involved in science and learn more about it. Some of the best advice I think I've heard about, you know, obviously advice in terms of protecting your eyes during the eclipse and
sure,
where
right.
to see it and where to see it the longest and all that. But in today's technology age, he has some advice and says, put down your phone and watch it.
You know what? That's good advice for any time. But yeah,
don't video it. Don't, you know, take a video of it. He gets it that you might want to watch it later, but then you're going to miss the whole thing. And he's telling everyone to experience this emotionally, psychologically, and physically, which is so, you know, he's really saying, like, take this all in. This is probably not going to happen ever again in your lifetime.
By the way, how many videos do you take on your phone that you never look at again?
You're seeing some, you know, beautiful nature or something happen, and everyone's trying to tape it. And yeah, just take it all in. It's never going to be the same.
Right.
You can leave it to the pros. You can watch all it later.
Leave it to the pros. Right. There's going to be a million people doing this. I don't think there's going to be any shortage of coverage of this clips. You know?
I mean, I get it. Of course, that's the natural instinct, I guess, is to want to film something like this.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, no matter how, if you're able to watch it or not, just recognize that occasionally things line up in ways that are uncommon or unusual, either in your life experience or for the earth itself, which is really, you know, what it's all about. Doesn't happen very often in anyone's lifetime or, you know, the course
take it
of,
and experience
of our universe.
It, be part of it, you know.
And one other thing that he did mention, so obviously if you're going to watch it, you have to buy these special glasses to protect your
eyes. That's right, that's
right. But if you can't, he says, and I haven't heard this before, you could hold a spaghetti strainer to the ground and look at the images, sort of like a pinhole camera.
Mm.
So obviously not the same as watching these clips. Rob's like, thanks.
I don't even know if I have a spaghetti strainer.
Everyone's got a spaghetti strainer. Come on. So yeah, you know, he's absolutely right. Just your phones are with you all the time, every day, day in, day out.
Put it down
for one moment and watch.
You know, and in some parts of where you're at, you may not even be able to use it. You know, all the bandwidth will be taken
up.
So,
right.
All right. A little something we don't usually do on the morning feed, but I was...
Talk about the Wizard of Oz.
I was thumbing through the interweb this morning and stumbled upon some of these on this day, and I found a couple things that happened on this day. And back in 1939, we had The Wizard of Oz premiering at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. So, yeah, that was a long time ago. Also a long time ago, 1969, Woodstock held on Max Yasger's 600-acre farm outside, or in Bethel outside New York.
Oh, wow. This was the day it started?
This is the day it started. For 3 days of peace and love, man. Peace and love. You know, we could use a little bit of that right now,
We could.
Use another Woodstock. And in 1991, 750,000 people, 750,000 people filled Central Park in New York to listen to Paul Simon.
Oh, my gosh.
So, his free concert.
Today's a very good day for entertainment.
You know.
Music.
You think about it, between Woodstock and Paul Simon, that's over 1 million people watching music, you know. So pretty cool.
Good deal.
And also our national days. We've got some good ones today. It's National Lemon Meringue Pie Day. I don't know where they get the flavoring for lemon meringue, so I think
we won't even go there. We know enough that we need to know about raspberries. We don't want to ruin all the flavors.
And then it's got to be one of my favorite days is National Relaxation Day.
I mean, this should really be a federal holiday.
It really should be.
Everyone should just have the day off to relax.
Kind of a tease to do it on Tuesday, but
it's Tuesday.
Should be one of those all-time Friday holidays. You know, Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday. You know, National Relaxation Day should always be on a Friday or something. And then let's just change the name of it to National Half Day Friday.
There you go. Make your pitch, Rob.
There it is. That is my pitch. And I think that's what we got. That's what we got for today in the morning feed. I think that's enough.
I think it is.
I think we're good. As always, thanks a lot for listening, and hear more and subscribe to us on Google Play Music, iTunes, and Stitcher. Also, check us out on our Facebook page, The Morning Feed with Rob and Jennifer, and also on the Rivet Radio Facebook page. Thanks a lot for listening. This has been a Tuesday edition of The Morning Feed. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Jennifer O'Neill.